Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 330 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of girls wrestling tonight. My first guest is the head coach of the nationally ranked Ankeny squad, and he has guided the team to a 20-3 dual record thus far. He is Dustin Rowland. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Dan. Thanks. Appreciate being on.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I know it's been a difficult season at times with some of the injuries that you guys have had to deal with, but through all the adversity of this team, you know, has still racked up a lot of wins on the mat heading into the final month of the season. Do you feel like you guys are in a good place and still on track to be able to accomplish the goals that you want to?
Well, there's a lot to unfold with that statement right there, but yeah, I mean, we're doing what we do, and this has honestly probably been like one of our best jobs coaching. I mean, just to think that we're 20-3 and only lost to really essentially two teams in the state, the same two teams that have obviously been going back and forth with for the last 4 years. And with right now, essentially, we've got Nora Bacchus wrestled limited action last Saturday, but without four girls in our lineup all year that were at state tournament last year. Well, I guess Maddie Postma wasn't, but she was certainly a podium type level girl that we don't have in our lineup that we thought coming into the season was just going to be, oh man, we're making a run this year. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. And now we're fighting for our lives. But gosh darn, these girls have for four straight years stepped up and rose to the occasion, and they're still kicking butt and taking names, and super proud of them. And you know, we teach like when things don't go our way, guess what? Nobody cares, work harder. So as the coach and the leader, I can't sit here and feel sorry for ourselves because nobody cares. Get to work, you know.
Well, hey, before we look ahead, let's recap the season a little bit. You guys are coming off a second place finish in the Border Brawl on Saturday at Council Bluffs, where you advanced to the final before you dropped a 56-18 decision to your conference rival, Raccoon River Northwest. And I know you told me that there were four nationally ranked teams in the field there. You know, so you had to feel pretty good about your team's performance there.
Yeah, I mean, that was an event that James kind of put on my radar, you know, mid last year, like, hey, you know, can't even think of his name right now, but coach from Lewis Central. Was wanting to do something and kind of wanted us to be involved from Central Iowa. And, you know, it's still a work in progress, but it's a pretty cool and going to be a good little event here as they continue to grow that. So yeah, making the finals. I mean, that was the goal. You know, we don't have a goal to go there and place in the middle of the pack anywhere we go. So, you know, we wrestled really well that day for the first four duels. And then, you know, we just made some decisions that I thought were best for our program at that point in time and didn't really, you know, go all firing on all cylinders in that duel and dropped a couple matches we were winning. And so it kind of swung the score to kind of ugly. But, you know, it's just a midseason duel that doesn't matter. You know, someday, like, you know, next year when there's state duels and all those duels matter, like, we'll approach some of those duels maybe a little bit differently. So, you know, like, well, again, great day overall, and we went and spent the night and went to Dave and Buster's and just had great team bonding. And, you know, I told the girls on the way home and the other day at practice, I'm just so blessed to be a part of their program. They let me keep coming back. And, you know, obviously I love my family and everything, but, you know, it's like most fun I have as a 45-year-old man is hanging out with these high school girls and coaching this team and just being a part of it is super special, and I'm very blessed to be a part of it.
Well, of course, Raccoon River Northwest is the defending state champion. They finished 13 points ahead of you to win last year's title, and you've already seen them, you know, multiple times this season. You guys lost that earlier duel over there by a score of 40-35. You also finished behind them at both the Central Iowa kickoff and the Dan Gable Donnybrook. You know, there isn't much doubt that they're clearly the team to beat in Class 2A, aren't they?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they got beat in a duel earlier this year by a team we're going to see next week in Southeast Polk. So, obviously, there can be quite a difference when you're looking at a tournament team versus a dual team. I mean, you could be a really, really good tournament team with five girls and not a great dual team. And you could be not a great tournament team with 14 solid girls, you know? And so we'll see how that plays out. Like, you know, Southeast Polk is in the mix. You know, I'm not counting us out. You know, all you got to do is make a couple upsets and get some help from a couple teams. And all of a sudden we're fighting for a state title just like we were last year. And that's been our team goal. But you throw in the Cedar Falls, who continues to battle and get better and impress people around the state. So between those four things, obviously you have Lewis Central. They're in our regional. We're going to see them. They're pretty solid. They're like the perfect example of they got like five really good girls on their team, you know? So in a duel, you know, it's a different story, but it'll be interesting. In a smaller tournament at regionals, like that'll kind of be hidden because, you know, they can only do so much.
Right.
And a bunch of girls are going to be in the finals. Whereas the state tournament, you have a bigger, you know, pool where not so many teams are, you know, we'll have as many as them in the finals, probably at regionals and maybe not a state tournament, you know, however that goes. But, right. So yeah, I mean, you ask the Raccoon River, obviously it's their title until they lose it. It's going to be a dogfight, just like I expect it to be for the next few years. And next year we had state duels and things are about to get real exciting in girls wrestling because, the field is evening out. You know, we talked about this 3 years ago. I said, five years from now, it's like, you know, the freshmen are coming in now and they're better than the older ones that have been doing it because they've been doing it longer. And it's just an ever-evolving process and starting to really even out across the state because youth wrestling is growing. So,
well, your team had some strong individual performances on Saturday, and I wanted to ask you about some of your top wrestlers. Senior Trudy Haig is ranked second at 120 pounds, and she went 4-0 on the day with four falls, and she now has 90 career pins. She's a three-time state qualifier who placed fifth at 120 a year ago, and she currently boasts a 29-3 record with 23 pins. Now, you had a couple state champs last season, and Trudy looks like someone who could definitely contend for a title, doesn't she?
Well, I'm currently ranked second. She's just so consistent. You know, I mean, I say that she kind of had a little mix up there the first week of the season, lost two of her, I don't know how many losses she has, but is it just three?
Yeah.
Lost two of her three matches in the first weekend. So, and it's been in what, it's 29 and 23 or something like that. So she's probably like 27-1 in her last 28 matches. That's pretty impressive. But really, I mean, that's how she's been throughout her career. She is just a great human being that comes in and does everything the right way. And we sure are going to miss her. But you know what? Like, you just hit it on the head. Like, our goal for her is to go out on top, you know, nothing less. Not that, you know, we'll be disappointed if that doesn't happen. But gosh darn, she's got the ability. She's put in the time. She's a senior. She's solid and she makes all the right choices and decisions. And so, you know, like she set herself up to be in the best possible position she can be. Another thing to note is those losses she has is up at 130, you know, and one at 125 to Raccoon River. Right. Now she's down at 120 and has not lost a match, obviously, at that weight and, you know, is ranked high enough to be in the state finals. You know, we got to get to the state finals first. And then, you know, at that point in time, you've been around long enough to know anything can happen. So I definitely have a personal goal for Trudy that, you know, she should be in that state championship match. And, you know, at that point in time, anybody can win. So that's the goal.
All right. And the young lady who is sitting here with us today, Carly Cruz, is ranked fifth at 125. And I'll be talking to her here in a few minutes. She went 3-0 with a pair of falls on Saturday and is now 26-5 on the season with 17 pins. And of course, this is her first season in the program, but you know, she's been a great addition to the team.
Hasn't she? Absolutely been a great addition. I mean, we've known Carly for a few years. Obviously her dad coaches with Coach Groth on the Centennial team. And you know, like she's been working out with us in the off season and to actually get her over here to go to school has been obviously a huge blessing for our program. I have a lot of respect for this young lady who has some very high expectations for herself. And, you know, we got to work on, and she knows this, we got to work on, you know, staying in the moment and control what we can control. And I think she's getting better with that. I know over the year, I just sat her down last week and I said, Hey man, I have a lot of respect for you because you're full-time now living with dad, you're in a new school, you're, you know, in a new team and all these things you've got thrown at you and you got a lot of pressure because you're returning state place winner and you're wrestling tough girls and you're not coming out on, you know, the winning animals. You come out on the winning animal, most of them, but, you know, she's lost some tough matches and she's pretty hard on herself, but like, she's right there. I mean, she's another one too. Like, don't be surprised if she's wrestling for a state title on Saturday night or Friday night too as well. So, like I said, she's been a great addition to our team on the mat and as a teammate, as well. So, just a sophomore. So the future is definitely bright for that young lady if we can, you know, get her to believe in herself and stay in the moment and, you know, like, understand that, hey, I'm doing really well right now, you know?
All right, and another one of your top kids is Lauren Watson. She's ranked fifth at 110, and she went 3-1 with a pair of falls on Saturday. Her only loss was a 7-6 decision to a ranked opponent from Raccoon River Northwest, Addison McGinnis, when you moved her up to 115. So she's now 21-5 with 11 pins, and she has 91 career wins, so she will likely reach the 100-victory milestone this season. Mm-hmm. And she placed third at state a year ago at 105, so she's another girl that I'm sure has her sights set on the top of the podium, doesn't she?
Absolutely. I mean, she took some losses early. She was a little slow out of the gates, if you will. I think what she said, she has 5 losses, and I bet she lost 4 of them in the first week and a half. And, you know, maybe hasn't lost a match in many weeks. And so we bumped her up to wrestle Addie McGinnis of Raccoon River last week. You might recognize that name, the daughter of 2-time Iowa national champion Jeff McGinnis and head Simpson coach. And that was a match. We didn't know how it was going to go, but we're kind of tired of seeing her battle out with Katie Biscaglia. You know, we'll save that one for when it matters on Friday night at the state tournament. So we've gone through that episode enough. So we said, hey, let's bump her up and see what happens. And she gave that highly ranked girl up a weight, all she could handle. And, you know, was this close from securing a last minute takedown and or last second takedown to win that match. So, you know, Lauren's another one too. Like, man, these girls are really good on the mat and really, you know, tough and competitive. But Dan, they're just better people and they're just way more fun just to be around in general than, and I would be remiss to not mention just, you know, we're talking about some really good wrestlers. We're talking about even better people.
Well, I can tell you enjoy what you do. Well, your other ranked wrestler is Jamie Craw, who is fifth at 145, or sixth, excuse me, after finishing seventh at state a year ago. She went 4-1 with 4 falls on Saturday, and her only loss came to Natalie Keller of Raccoon River Northwest. She's now 26-5 with 21 pins. And you told me that she had kind of a rough week, you know, off the mat last week, and you're confident that she can get that match back later, aren't you?
Yeah, so, you know, Jamie's just super athletic. She had some family stuff go down last week, and actually, you know, come to find out in hindsight after even I talked to you that, you know, she found some really tough news about 10 minutes before walking on the mat of that match. And I'm not making excuses. She got beat. She got taken down. She got pinned. And that absolutely cannot happen for her at that level. But she's carrying a lot of weight right now. And, you know, she's going to shine when the time is ready to shine. She's another one. I mean, you know, there might be some people out there counting us out, but we've talked about, you know, three girls that, you know, even throwing Watson there, obviously, every girl we've talked about, there's no doubt in my mind that in some scenario, they're wrestling on Friday night for a state championship. And we were able to, you know, have a tournament, put all 4 of those girls plus whoever, you know, whatever, in the finals. Or, you know, I was saying this all for the last 2 weeks, you know, Jamie, when Hayden kind of, you know, had her situation and, you know, her surgery decided that she was going to be done for the season. You know, we started looking at what's the best option for Jamie, and we thought that option was up at 45 and moved her up. You know, we may be making her wait at 40 and, you know, flipping her around. But I said for 2 weeks, I don't know who's going to beat this girl at this point in time. Of course, then she goes out and gets beat, but, by Natalie Keller, who's really tough, but, again, like I told you, I'm not scared of that match. Mm-hmm. Like I'm ready to get out there and wrestle her again, you know, because I have all confidence that Jamie will be on the other end of it next time.
Well, then your upper weights aren't ranked, but they both had a really good day on Saturday. Aaliyah Shade went 5-0 with 5 falls, and she's now 26-6 with 22 pins. Asia Mosier went 5-0 with 3 falls, and she's now 27-4 with 15 pins. You know, do you feel like those two are being overlooked as far as the rankings go?
Well, that's hard to say when you're part of the rankings committee, but I will tell you this, they're right there. You know, they're, if I don't know what they put out in those rankings, maybe if we finalize 10 or 12, but if we do 10, they're 11. If we do 12, they're 13, you know? So, the people that know the James Biscaglias, the Allie Gerbrechts, the, you know, those people know they're in the mix and they're in the hunt to find a spot on the podium. And so, you know, to the average folk, they're not in the rankings. People don't know them. We can kind of prefer it like that, you know. But you toe the line against one of those two and you're going to have to work your butt off to get a W.
And then you have one other wrestler with more than 20 wins this season, and that's Zoe Sullivan, who is 23-6 with 14 pins, and she's a returning state qualifier. And I know she was wrestling at 110 earlier in the season, but she's kind of settled into the 105-pound spot.
And that's, you know, she kind of did the same thing last year, if you remember. She was at 105 all year. I think the only time she got down to 100 was at the regional tournament, maybe. Maybe one time before that or something like that. Kind of, you know, she did a little quicker this year, back down to 105. That wasn't going to be her plan. She was happy, you know, doing what she was doing. Obviously, she saw a need for our program, and obviously, you know, you want to compete and you want to be, you know, at the highest level, and she's a competitor. And so she bit the bullet and got some weight off, and has been, it's kind of settled in now. And I think the weight is leveled off and she's at a good place. And she's another one too that, like, you know, they don't, people don't know her. I know she's a returning state qualifier, so people know her name, but she gets on top of you, and she's got a chance to pin you, anybody. So we're excited about, you know, she's got a tough regional, but, you know, I put, you know, sometimes we look at these regionals, we look at the strength of our schedule. I go through a whole little dissection we did on this young lady right here, mm-hmm. looking at her first 15 matches from last year compared to her first 15 matches from this year. And, you know, she had wrestled like 7 state qualifiers and 6 state place winners. And in her schedule last year, she had wrestled 3 state qualifiers and 1 state place winner through 15 matches. So I'm confident that what we put our girls through for the season builds them and like, you know, gets them more ready basically for the state tournament. You know, we may have more losses than some of these teams, but our strength of schedule is just ridiculous compared to many schools. So, like, you know, when you look at our regionals, again, talking about Sullivan, back to Sullivan, like, there's some pretty good records in a regional, but they have not wrestled the quality of competition that Zoe has. So she's right in the mix. And, you know, if you're on our team anymore, we're trending, and you're one of our state qualifiers, the expectation or the quality of level of wrestling there is finding a way on the podium. So
when you mentioned Nora Bacchus earlier, she went 3-0 with a pair of falls at 115 on Saturday, and she hasn't missed much of the season due to an injury. So she's now 7-2 on the year with 6 pins. But of course, she's one of your most decorated wrestlers. She's a 3-time state qualifier and a 2-time place winner. She was the runner up at 110 last season. Yeah, I'm sure she still has a ways to go to maybe get back to where she was. But do you feel like, you know, she could be a threat at state if she can stay healthy here for the next month?
Yeah, I mean, she's just got lingering knee injuries. Poor girl, you know, just like nothing necessarily specific, no major injury, but just, you know, all the years of jumping in volleyball and now in wrestling, and I don't know, but it's just something she really struggles with. So, you know, she got back on the mat Saturday. I think previous to Saturday, she was super anxious. You know, obviously you're returning finals. There's a lot of pressure there, right? Like whether someone's putting you on it or you're putting it on yourself.
Sure.
You know? And we had kind of a little heart-to-heart meeting before last weekend, and some tears were shed and some hugs were given. And, you know, and then we kind of put it on the line there Saturday. We said, well, I mean, it's go or not, you know, at this point in time, and put her out there for a few matches. And it looked good. I mean, I was happy with what I saw, and, you know, more importantly than wins and losses, the smile from ear to ear as she was walking off the mat was just heartwarming for us as coaches and her and probably her parents. And so, you know, like, okay, now we got past that hump. We were nervous about getting back on the mat. Now we're back on the mat. You know, we're still going to take care of her and use her where we need to use her. But we just, you know, our goal, and I think we've had a pretty good record of getting them in the right headspace. Right. And so I'm fully confident that when we roll into Wells Fargo Arena, which isn't even Wells Fargo Arena anymore, when we roll into Stream Arena there in February, she's going to be primed and ready to go. And, you know, again, our expectations for everybody that walks in that building is to come out with a medal around your neck and standing on that podium. And there's no different for her than anybody else.
Well, like you mentioned, of course, Nora's not the only one who's been dealing with injuries this year. You guys did lose Maddie Postma to an ACL injury before the season even started. And then you lost defending state champ Hayden Bratlin to the elbow injury that she suffered at the Central Iowa kickoff. And then she underwent the season-ending surgery last month. So obviously you can't replace a wrestler like Hayden. But, you know, with the depth and the talent that you still have on this squad, and you've talked about all these kids, I'm guessing you've told your girls that, you know, everything that you want to accomplish, you know, is still in front of you.
Absolutely. You know, and you miss one girl in that mix that has not been on the mat yet this year as well, that will be very shortly, if not Saturday, definitely probably Tuesday against Sally's Poke, and that will be Kaylee Staples.
I was just going to ask you about her.
Who's a returning state qualifier, and man, I was hoping she would have been back by now, but she hasn't. Not because of, like, she's not ready. She's ready. You know, just how doctors can be sometimes, and rightfully so, but we're excited to get her back. You don't replace, back to your original question, you don't replace a Hayden Bradlin. You just do the best you could do to fill in there and hope for the best. And, you know, we had, you know, Jamie stepping into that position, that particular weight, that 45 has been good for us. And then that has freed up some things. I mean, we've been using a handful of girls at 35, 40, kind of wherever we don't wrestle Jamie there in the last couple of weeks. And it's time to get that solidified. And we got another sophomore, Elsie Cole, who is back. She's been injured, and we're going to kind of roll the dice with her tomorrow night in Oskaloosa and on Saturday and see how that goes. And, you know, there's about three girls vying for that position that next week. We're going to have to figure out who it is that we're going to go with for the last 2.5 weeks of the season. And again, the expectation is if you're in our lineup, you're thrown down and you're trying to become a state qualifier. And so that doesn't change whether it's Hayden Bradlin, Elsie Cole, Audrey Hedrick, or whoever's in that lineup. The expectations are the same.
We still have some big meets coming up. You mentioned that tomorrow night you'll go to Oskaloosa, where you'll face the Indians as well as Dallas Center Grimes. And Dallas Center Grimes is a team that you defeated at the Holiday Duels right before Christmas. And that's a team that will also be in your same regional field with you on January 30th at Glenwood. You know, so those matches tomorrow could be important for seeding purposes, right?
Could be in theory, but honestly, Dan, we're taking a skeleton crew.
All right.
We're taking, I don't know, maybe a handful of varsity girls, and then the rest, like eight of them, maybe four varsity girls. And then eight, nine of them are going to be, eight, nine, 10 of them are JV girls. But again, you know, the expectation is to go and win, you know, like just because we're filling somebody in that's not our number one doesn't mean anything changes, you know. But we just, it's just that time of the season. So girls need to just kind of start feeling a little better. Instead of making weight again, we got a big, long, tough tournament at Ogden, one of our favorites, where everyone gets to go together on Saturday. So, you know, being as though Dallas Center Grimes is a conference opponent, we'll see them again on Saturday as well. But it's just like, you know, there's no state duels. There's not, you know, like, yes, we want to win duels. We're varsity level, and that's important to us. But what's more important to us is making sure that we're doing the right things by our girls and getting them ready to go by the end of the season when it's time to be ready to go. And so with that in mind, we decided some of the girls were taken and some of them were keeping back, not have to worry about making weight and, you know, getting ready to go for Saturday and get a workout in at home. And so Coach Willers and I, we had an over to Oskaloosa, and with 13 girls, we're not even going to take a 100-pounder right now. And so the rest of the, let's see, that's 13. So the rest of the 41, 42 girls will stay back and get a workout in.
Well, what did you think of being assigned to that Glenwood Regional? Were you surprised that they sent you there?
You know, I mean, they got to send us somewhere. Honestly, when we dropped, and I think I said this to, I don't know if I said this to you, but when, I said it to a few people. When we dropped to number 10 in the rankings, Hayden goes out. That's 25 rankings points. You know, like you mentioned it, Shade probably could be in there. Mosher could be in there. You know, Jamie Crow, in my opinion, maybe a little bit higher. But my point is, when we dropped to 10, I was concerned we were going to see a conference opponent. And when I saw that ranking, I already told you earlier in this podcast, you know, if I had to pick a top eight team to wrestle against, it would have been that. It was Central. And so when I saw that we were, that was the you know, the highest ranked team in our region, I felt good about that. Nothing against them. They have, again, they have five really good girls that could be in a state championship match. The other, nine, math is hard these days, are very beatable. You know what I mean? And so I felt good about that. You know, people are going to say, well, you're second year in a row, Dan. Honestly, the best I can figure, we are traveling further than any team in Class 2A. We were able to overcome that last year. I plan on overcoming that again this year. You know, if I had my choice to stay closer and wrestle one of our conference opponents that are really good, I would have chosen going to Glenwood. So you can't have all those thoughts about it and then still complain about it. You know what I mean? We're traveling ways, but you know what, if you're going over an hour, what's 2 hours? You know, I know it's another hour, but you know, if you're going on a long road trip, it's still the mindset issue, right? You know? So when you got to get off the bus, you got to get warmed up, get ready to go. So it is what it is. I mean, nobody cares. Work hard or get it done. We're, our expectation is bring home a third, you know, banner to put up in our room as a regional champion. And, you know, I don't care if we got to go to Alaska to do that. We're going to do it.
I'll finish up with you on this one, Coach. Of course, the state tournament will then be held the following week over there in Coralville. You guys will be looking to move up in the standings for the third straight year, because after you placed 40th in your first season, you guys then placed 7th in the next year before earning runner-up honors in 2025. So it's obviously not going to be easy, but no. That's the goal, right?
Well, goals aren't meant to be easy, man. If they were, everyone would be millionaires, right? But, you know, like, again, I mean, that was our goal, you know. We're winning a state title this year. I mean, we do it every day after practice. State champs. And you know, we could whine and complain and change our goal, but we're not going to. You know, that's the goal. We're going to go in there and make some noise, like you said. I mean, you know, if our goal is to finish top 10, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing it for? Because we've been there. We've done that. Like, we have to continue to raise the bar in the program and build something, you know, great. And, you know, goals are lofty. You know, that's what the purpose of them is. But like I said, I mean, we're a couple teams getting help from a couple teams away from being, you know, Friday afternoon and realizing, God darn, we got a shot at this, you know? And so, you know, yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The goal is to come home with the state title. Is that tough? Yeah, absolutely. Is it tougher than we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season? Yeah, but that's the goal. It does not defer.
All right, Coach. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you.
All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my other guest tonight is a sophomore on the Ankeny squad, and like I mentioned earlier, she is ranked 5th at 125 pounds with a 26-5 record that includes 17 falls. She is Carly Cruz. Carly, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing good.
Well, this is your first season, of course, in the Ankeny program. As a freshman last year at Creston, you went 36-11 at 125, and you placed 5th in the Class 1A state tournament. You reached the semifinals before losing to the eventual state champ, Molly Allen of Riverside, but you eventually came back to win your fifth place match. Has it been a pretty smooth transition for you in coming to Ankeny?
Yeah, definitely. Ankeny Centennial is obviously a lot bigger than Creston, so it's been very easy, like, just transitioning, because I know people from the team, and so it's so much easier to, like, navigate with their help at the school.
Well, Coach kind of touched on this earlier, but has the competition level around here been tougher, you know, for you than it was a year ago?
Most definitely. Like, I will say, like, the competition is a lot tougher, but I mean, as you grow as a wrestler, like, it definitely gets easier. Like, easier in a way, but, like, it's definitely gotten harder.
What was the biggest adjustment for you in coming to Ankeny? You know, does this program do some things differently than how you did them down there?
Yeah. Just, like, the structure of how practice goes, but it's an easy transition to, like, get used to. So, yeah.
Well, we talked with Coach about all the injuries that you guys have dealt with this season. Have you been able to stay pretty healthy?
Yeah. I've been, like, yeah.
Yeah?
I've been trying.
Everybody gets nicked up a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, what has been the highlight of the season for you thus far?
Probably just getting to know the team a lot better than what I did. I definitely, like, having those team bonding moments and, like, definitely hanging out with the team a lot. And so far, Donnybrook has probably been my favorite moment.
Well, Coach mentioned that you had worked out with the team before. And, of course, your dad, you know, coaches with Coach Groth. So did that make the transition a little bit easier, too, just the fact that you were familiar with some people?
Oh, yeah. That made the transition a lot easier just because I know, like, most of the coaches over at on the boys program at Centennial and, like, working out with the girls here and working with Dustin on the off season, it definitely helped.
Well, you placed 2nd in the Central Iowa kickoff back in November, where you lost by a major decision to Ruby Roof of Algona in the finals. Is she one of the best wrestlers that you faced this year?
No.
No?
I
just didn't have a good day.
I might be biased, but I definitely think Camille Schultz is tougher. Just tougher competition, in my opinion, even though she lost to Ruby Roof. But I definitely think Mule's tougher.
All right. Well, after you placed sixth in the Dan Gable Donnybrook in December, you came back a week later to win all five of your matches at the Centennial Duels, where you wrestled at 130 that day. You also went 5-0 at the Holiday Duels the next week. Before you came back after the break, you went 3-0 at the Border Brawl last weekend. So even though you have wrestled some matches at 130 this season, you know, do you think you'll be staying at 125 the rest of the way? And are you pretty comfortable at that weight?
Yeah, I am. I'm very comfortable at 25. I like wrestling 25 just because I can get a lot more scrappier with the girls than I can at 30. But Yeah,
I'm sure that 5 pounds makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Well, we talked with Coach earlier about what a good season Trudy Haig is having at 120. So is she one of your workout partners on a regular basis?
Yes, she is. She's my go-to practice partner. I love working out with her. Her and I always have good, like, conversations about, like, how moves work and, like, how we think, like, it would work in a match. We always do some scrapping around in the room, definitely.
Well, she's obviously got a lot of experience, you know, being a senior. Have you learned some things from her?
Most definitely, yeah. Like, when we scrap, like, I'll ask her, like, how do I maneuver out of this? Or, like, I'll definitely ask her questions, 100%.
Well, what do you feel like is your greatest asset as a wrestler? Is it maybe your strength when you're at 25?
I think it's definitely not my strength. I think it's more of my technical. I started like 4 years ago and I've like soaked it all in, and I feel like I'm most definitely technical about it.
Was it your dad that got you started in wrestling?
Yeah.
He probably didn't give you a choice, huh?
No, it was my choice. Yeah. He didn't force me into doing anything. I was like, I needed to do a winter sport, and I didn't think that wrestling would be like my main sport at the time. Like, I thought it was just going to be like, oh, like one of those sports, like, you do. But I definitely fell in love with it a lot more.
Well, I'm sure you had some time over the break, you know, to work on some things to refine your craft. What areas did you feel like you needed the most work on?
Probably the most work on is like shot defense, most definitely. Just because sometimes I get stuck on my, like, being flat-footed.
Well, we talked with Coach about your upcoming schedule. One of the meets that we didn't mention is the CIML Conference meet, which will be held on January 20th at Raccoon River Northwest. Do you feel like you can contend for a conference title? You know, and if you could win one, how much of a boost would that give you going into to the rest of the meets?
I am very confident about getting that match back. I wrestled her at 130 at the duel.
Right.
And so I'm very confident on getting back. And it's not going to be easy, obviously, but I'm like full confident that I'm going to come up on top, and that will boost my confidence a lot better.
Well, I'm guessing you probably looked at your regional assignment and the teams that you'll be competing against over there in Glenwood. I know Coach has broken it down. Do you feel like there are some tough girls in your bracket?
Yes and no. Avea Smith is definitely a really good wrestler, and I think that's going to be probably one of my toughest components during the tournament.
Well, then assuming that you can make it to state, you know, I'm sure your ultimate goal would be to win a title. You know, I imagine you're aware that Ankeny's Elise Engebretsen won a state title last year at the same weight, even though she came in as the number six seed. So if you could duplicate what she did and win a championship, you know, what would that mean to you?
That's the goal. I was really close with Elise in the off season and last year. And so that's the goal, man. Coming up on top at the state tournament Friday night.
Well, we talked with Coach as well about the team's goals, you know, like him. Do you think, you know, you guys have the potential to compete for the crown even without Hayden?
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight, obviously. Like Coach said, it's going to be a dogfight. It's not going to be easy. But I definitely think we can come up on top. Like we say it every day after practice, state champs. Like, it's going to be hard, but we can do it.
Yeah. Well, it should be a fun rest of the season. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll probably see you guys over there in Coralville at some point. So thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Carly. Appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Of course.
All right. Well, before I sign off, we got Coach Roland back on the mic. There was one other point he wanted to make, so I'll let him take it on from here.
Yeah, so we're in year four of our program, and I just would be remiss. I don't know if I'm going to get back on this mic or not, but before I left, I just wanted to – we have five seniors. Adriana Tanner is a first-year wrestler. Audrey Hedrick was in our varsity lineup last year, and she's kind of dueling between wrestling and dance. But then these next three, oh, my gosh, I'm going to try to get through this. All right, you got Nora Bacchus. Talked about her. You got Trudy Haig, talked about her. And you got Jaden Stites, we have not talked about her, has been an integral part of our program, in and out of the lineup, being a, utility person for us. Unfortunately, she has not been able to find her spot. But those three girls are, like, so important to our program. They were the only three of our five seniors, I think we had 11 freshmen their freshman year. And of those 11 girls, those were the three that have been on our program since the beginning. And I just am very thankful for those three girls. They're going to be graduating. That's going to be really tough for us, just because that'll forever be our first group of four-year girls that were in our program. And as far as I'm concerned, for the rest of our lives, those will kind of be the leaders, the matriarchs of our program. And I just want to shout out to, Trudy Hag, Nora Bacchus, and Jaden Stites, who will forever have a special place in my heart for being the three girls that stuck it out with us and our coaches and our program for the first 4 years we've been together. So thank you for allowing me to have that time.
You bet. Well said. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa. Local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny Girls Wrestling Coach Dustin Rowland and sophomore Carly Cruz. I appreciate the time from both of those folks. And I apologize for my gravelly voice today, as I'm a little bit under the weather, but powered through it. So anyway, come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.